How many of you remember a time when gas stations were referred to as service stations? Remember that? For those of you that are not old enough to remember that, let me tell you what happened when you used to pull into a service station. A smiling attendant would come out, usually with a uniform and a cap, and he would go around to your window, and you would just roll it down, and he would say, "Feller up?" And you said yes, if you wanted it to be filled up, and he would usually say, "You want Ethel or regular?" And Ethel is a premium gas. And as you sat behind the wheel, without him even asking, he would begin to wash your windows. And he would go around the car and clean all the windows. By that time, the gas would have filled the tank, and he would put the hose up. And then he would come, and he'd ask you a second question. He'd say, "Would you like for me to check under the hood?" And that meant check your oil. And so you'd say yes. Most people did say yes, and he'd check under the hood. And he would not only check your oil, he would come back and bring the dipstick with the rag, and he would show you on the dipstick where your oil level was. And he'd say, "Would you like me to add a quart? You're a little bit low." And you'd say yes if you were low. And he would take care of all of that. And then having done that, he would come back, close your hood, and he would ask you the final question, "Would you like for me to check the air in your tires?" And you could either say yes or no, "I think they're okay." And he would go around and check all four tires, and he'd say, "I think you're good to go," present you with a bill, and you would pay for it. And as you left, he would say, "Thank you, come back again." And all of that for 21 cents a gallon. As we're talking about service today, listen again to the words of Jesus recorded near the end of Matthew chapter 20. "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." And Jesus spent countless hours. We read in the Gospels that he would spend the whole day and work until night to the point of exhaustion as the people came and brought those who were blind and crippled and sick to him. And he would stay with the crowd until he had healed all those there. He fed the multitudes. He taught the spiritually hungry. He washed the disciples' feet. You know, service is something that always stands out as something that is different from the way we are commonly dealt with. There's an annual presentation here in the United States. It's sort of a tongue-in-cheek presentation. It's called the National It's Not My Job Award. And there are usually submissions for that. If you look online, you'll see some of the previous year's winners. One of them was of a sign painter who was painting the stripe down the side of the highway. And right there where he painted with his truck is a dead armadillo with a stripe painted right over the armadillo. It's not my job to move armadillos off the road when I'm painting stripes. Another one was a restaurant, and there was a salt and pepper shaker, and they were both empty, and whoever's job it was to fill them again had just taken several little packets of pepper and several little packets of salt and stuck down inside and screwed the lid back on. Those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ have been called to serve. And that means going the extra mile. And that means doing things that otherwise people do not do. Those who are followers of Jesus see needs, and not only see them, they step out to meet those needs. Barnabas is a classic example of one whose life was changed by Jesus Christ. And we read about him throughout the book of Acts. And if there was ever one with a servant's heart, it was this man, Barnabas. In Acts chapter 4, in verse 36, it says, Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money, and he put it at the apostles' feet. And in doing that, he set off a chain reaction of generosity in that early church in Jerusalem. They had special needs, unique needs at that beginning of the church. And Barnabas provided funds that would enable the apostles to care for the needs of all those who had traveled from out of town, those who had become Christians and were learning and growing as babes in Christ. Barnabas did what he did cheerfully, as we're asked to do. He gave that gift wholeheartedly to the apostles. And you know what? Barnabas still has that field. Because the only things that we get to keep for eternity are the things that we send on ahead of us. That went to his credit. And the Lord never forgets things that are given like that. You know how followers of Jesus are to serve? Again, Barnabas provides the example. In Acts chapter 9, we read about him again. And there in verse 27, we read about the Apostle Paul. His name had just recently been changed from Saul to Paul, and he had a horrible reputation among believers. And people were afraid of him. He had been the one who was murdering Christians and arresting Christians and putting them in prison. And now he comes and probably would have been excluded but for Barnabas. It says, when he, Paul, came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. And then it says, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. Barnabas saw a need, and he became a bridge builder. Did you know that assimilation, that means bringing people in, helping them develop friendships, getting them involved, is one of the greatest needs in the church in every generation? It was needed back there when Paul was needing to find a way to become part of the body of Christ when he had once been alienated and the enemy of the cross. People today who are new in town, who are new in this congregation, need a way to find bridges to become a part of the family here at Sunset. Have any of you ever experienced being a new kid in school, having moved sometime in your childhood? Do you still remember that feeling of going into the cafeteria and sitting when you didn't know anybody? And you longed for someone to let you sit with them, and you needed a friend so desperately. Have you ever moved to a new town? Have you ever moved to a new congregation and gone in when you didn't know anyone? It can be hard making new friends and finding your place. And let me tell you, we've got new folks here. We just announced three new folks already this morning, and we have folks who've come in recent weeks and months. We have folks who would love to be invited to go out with a group after church to eat. We have folks here at Sunset who would love to be able to stand around in the crowd over here or over there who talks and laughs together. There are folks here who are new who would love to be personally invited to some activity in this church's life. You know how followers of Jesus serve? They say yes when asked to help in some way. Again, we're going to look at Barnabas as our example. In Acts chapter 13, it says that John, who was also called Mark, it closes out by talking about him, and then it says, now in the church in Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, and it mentions Barnabas among them. And it says that while they were worshiping the Lord there in Antioch, and they were fasting, they were praying, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. First missionaries being sent out by this missionary church. During a worship service, the Holy Spirit in some way revealed to that congregation that these two men were to be selected, and they were selected, and they both said, "Yes, we'll go." They echoed the words of Isaiah, "Here am I, send me." You know, Christianity is not a spectator sport. And I am so grateful for the 10 men who said yes and last Sunday began to learn what saying yes is going to mean right here at Sunset. Their areas of responsibility are being fleshed out now. And I can promise you that some of these men will more than likely be tapping some of you on the shoulder in these next few weeks. And they'll say, "Would you be willing to..." And I'm not sure what they're going to ask, but they're going to need help because they can't do it by themselves. And when you're asked, I know that there are legitimate reasons why at times you must say no. And I know that you can't always do everything that you're asked to do. And there are some healthy boundaries at times that need to be put in place. But if you can possibly say yes when they ask, or when Brian Dahl asks, or others that are involved in our education system ask, if you can possibly say yes, won't you do that? That's what a follower of Jesus does. That's what Barnabas did. You know, the church is a volunteer organization, but it is God's volunteer organization. You know, I'm encouraged as I look through the pages of Scripture to see those that God chose to use. You know, God's not picky about who He will use. He uses all kinds of people from all kinds of backgrounds. He doesn't just use people who have tremendous talent in some area. God will use people who have very limited abilities. Did you know that? He doesn't just use people who have great faith and a deep knowledge of the Word. He'll use people whose faith is weak and who have only a rudimentary understanding of Scripture. He doesn't just use the strong people to accomplish His task. God is on record as using people that we would regard as weak people. Consider some of those that God has used in times past. You remember who paved the initial way for the conquest of Canaan? The spies went across, and it was a prostitute by the name of Rahab who sheltered them and who gave them safe passage back out of the city. Remember who initiated the healing of the Syrian leader, Naaman? It was a little slave girl that to this day goes unnamed except in the mind of God. You remember who provided the starter for the feeding of the 5,000 that day that Jesus performed that great miracle? Another unnamed little boy, someone that we wouldn't even have noticed in the crowd, who brought His 5 loaves and 2 fishes and placed them in the hands of the Master. And remember who kept the great prophet Elijah alive through that lengthy famine? It was a widow who was willing to give sacrificially in a time of dire need herself. You know what it takes to be a servant? You know what it takes for God to choose you to serve in some capacity? It just takes one thing. It takes your ability to see a need and to respond to that need. You don't have to be a preacher or an elder or a deacon to be used. You really don't even need to ask permission most of the time to be used. If you see a need, just step out and meet that need. All you've got to do is have a servant's heart and a willing hand. I hope that as you look around, that you observe things in which you can respond, areas in which you can respond, and needs that you can meet, and places that you can serve. Do you see some things that need to be improved right here at Sunset? Surely in a crowd this size, some of you see some things that we could do better, things that need some help, things that need some improvement. Are you aware of any people in this congregation who need some encouragement, who need some help? Don't wait to be tapped on the shoulder. If you see a need, allow God to use you as His special servant in meeting that need. Any man, woman, boy, or girl who manifests a willingness to be used by God is like a ship that raises its sails on a windy day. It begins to move suddenly. It begins going places. God is not limited to accomplishing His will just through the, quote, professionals. God wants to use every single person, every one. He wants servants out of 100% of His family. Now, I've read through Scripture and I've observed enough life to know that when great things happen in God's church, it often happens through the most unlikely people. And I believe that we have unlimited potential we've not even yet begun to tap in this congregation. Listen as we close here to the words of the Apostle Paul recorded for us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning down in verse 18. There he says, "All this is from God who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." If you're a Christian, you have been given by God the ministry of reconciliation. And then he explains what he's talking about. He says that God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. You may not have a visible place in leadership, but if you belong to Jesus, you are His ambassador. You know what service is? And we have incredible opportunities for service. There are so many ministries in this congregation. There's hardly a person here this morning who is not involved in some ministry we have in which you're touching people in our community, in our hospitals, in our classes. We've got so many areas in which you are serving. And service is the point of contact between a follower of Jesus and a lost soul very many times. That's the point of contact. That is where your ambassadorial role takes place. That's where you reflect Jesus to those who do not know Him. I pray that we'll all rise to the occasion, understanding who we are and the commission that Jesus has given us as servants of His. This morning, the one who spoke those words and said, "I didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many," He stands today to serve. He wants to save and to cleanse and to make you whole. If you've never submitted to Jesus Christ, He gladly will receive you today. We'll assist you as you're baptized, having made that good confession. If you need prayers, one of the ways in which we can serve as a body of believers is to pray for one another. And if you would like to unburden yourself this morning and allow us to pray, we will gladly do that. If you need to come, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.